Blog Talk Radio.
Gail Marie. I think I have my co-host Manuel Hill on. Are you there, sir?
You don't think you have me? You know you have me. I am on.
You're on. Okay, good. I was wondering.
What were you wondering?
You know what? Because the lights are blinking and I don't see my, you know, I have a separate, I see you when you patch in separately from the listener.
Oh.
Yes, and so you were right at that, you know, those
right.
last couple of seconds.
Just say right on time. Just say it like that.
See, what we probably have to do is see, to me, on time would probably be like before the entrant, the announcement comes in. And I guess you're like, as long as you get in before the song is over.
Right.
Over, you're on time, right?
Right. Well, as long as I get in, when your voice comes on, as long as I'm on time.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give you a hard time. I am, you know, I drink a lot of water, so I usually try to not drink too much around the time that we're going to do the show. But for whatever reason, I didn't do that. So there might be some pauses.
You might have to
carry the show a couple of times so that I can go to the bathroom. I know it's TMI, but whatever.
You know there's men out there that like that. They have these little fetishes about women peeing. You know that might turn some of the listeners on. I'm just saying. You might want to leave it running and leave the air open so they can kind of you don't want to leave it open.
That's just nasty.
I'm just telling you, there's guys that dig that.
Are you one of those guys that dig that, Manuel?
the right woman come along, she might be able to get away with a golden shower or two.
Oh my God!
Is that bad? Is that nasty? That's bad. I don't know.
That's not, you know what, do you? if it works for you, then I am all for it. So I was out of town last week, and so I think I'm kind of like still trying to get my bearings. So if I sound a little out of it, I think that's what it is, because, you know, I have insomnia and you know, and then I was like on a plane for 4 hours on Friday and just, yeah.
Sounds like you're a little worn out from your trip, a little drained.
I am. It was a very, very good trip though.
Okay.
It was a good trip. And so I just don't want anyone saying like, oh, she seems a little loopy. I actually am a little loopy, but it's from natural causes. Anyway, how was your week and your weekend?
Pretty busy at work, relaxing weekend. I cannot complain. I have no complaints at all. I'm doing my best, you know, being new to this Dallas area and back to Texas. This heat makes you not want to do anything. It really will keep you indoors, you know. So you know, I'm not really concentrated on doing much right now. I imagine when the fall time rolls around, then I'll probably get out a little bit more. I need that weather to be just a little bit cooler than what it is right now, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's hot here, but I mean, yeah, I don't really enjoy. You know what? I don't enjoy the heat or the cold. I'm one of those people. I needed to just be cool, like right in the middle.
Right.
Yeah, and then I'm good. Like a lot of people like when it's like really hot, and I am not one of those people that like extremely hot weather. Which is why San Diego is so great, because it has such amazing weather. Just want to throw that out there. Don't hate.
No, trust me. You always show the love to the San Diego. You do.
Yeah, California is the place to be. So we have like a lot to get into on this topic, but there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. First of all, we have to give props to Serena Williams. I know that you know that.
Yes,
we got to give her major props because. This is her 21st.
Right.
Title-ish. Yeah. So she did her thing. So much props to Serena Williams for that. And of course, I wish I had a clip of the Cosby Show to play. Because of course, Bill Cosby. Oh, everyone. You know, I'm gonna wait to pass. You know, I'm not gonna judge this man because.
I am. Don't worry. I will.
I'm gonna let you judge him all you want. But you know, for those who don't know, unless you know, I guess if you're under a rock or something, or you're not paying attention to what's going on. I guess the court documents that were previously sealed have been unsealed, and I guess it revealed that he had admitted to giving women pills to have sex with them. Some people are taking that as admission that he used these pills to rape them, and some people are saying, oh, no, it was the 70s. That's what they did. You know, they drugged people and had sex with them after they passed out. I don't know. I mean, what is your take on that, Manuel?
That's actually part of my take on it. We know that that time, a lot of things that we would consider so uncouth, you know, right now, for them back then was just casual. But that doesn't make it right. And personally, I think, you know, Bill Cosby or any other person, I don't care what time you're living in, even if whatever you're doing is part of the norm, you know, you're a celebrity, you have a fast lifestyle, and the norm is to drop pills into women's drinks or, you know, get a woman high or to where her inhibitions are lowered and she's not really making conscious decisions, and then you decide to engage in sexual activities with her. If you decide to do that, you're just as responsible as somebody who does it in this day and age. The consequences are just totally different from then and now, and the thought behind it or how people judge you are different. But to me, Bill Cosby as a human being, as a man, as a person, he engaged in something that I feel is deplorable and I imagine that if I was living back in that time, I would as well. But I try not to judge it based on that. I just look at it as he knew what he was doing, and he was doing this to women who were unaware, and he got off on it. So even if that was the thing, something has to be, like, a little off about him as a person. For all the good things that we're going to give him credit for, this is a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? He's not perfect,
yeah.
So this is one that he has to take with him.
And it's so sad because he has such a amazing legacy, and
right.
Of course, you know, he's in the last leg of his life. So it's unfortunate for all the people who put in hard work with him to build that legacy. It's now tarnished by this. And we actually have, there's a conversation going on right now on our page, our open forum page, Urban Conversation Radio on Facebook. A few people are talking on the post where Camille, his wife, she's finally, you know, speaking out, and she's saying that the women consented to the sex. And so there's, you know, various opinions on this. Basically, it boils down to those that are defending his actions and those that are saying pretty much what she said, that it's deplorable. I think one of the things that I would want to point out is it's so natural in our society to start victim blaming. This is nothing new. It's been this way from the beginning.
Right.
And it's easy for people to say, well, why didn't a rape victim speak out sooner? Or why didn't she say this? I mean, unless you experience that type of abuse or that type of trauma, you really don't know how it's going to affect you, what your reasons for not speaking out are. I mean, a lot of the women are saying because he was, you know, a man in power, they didn't feel like they would be believed. Shame. I don't know why, as humans, we are so quick to forget how human we are. You know, it's so easy to cross over into that place of judgment and pretend like we don't know what it feels like to be ashamed of something we've done or something that's happened to us. So that's a big component of it. And I'm sure it was a lot of shame involved if, in fact, these women were raped. And if he raped them, the second part of this statement, I want to say really quickly, if he was doing this for the purpose of being a predator, it doesn't matter what his, you know, it doesn't matter that he was a star or that he was famous or that he was rich. Rapists, there's no respect of these sicknesses. It will, you know, if you're a rapist, you're a rapist. If that's something that's in you and that you want to do, it doesn't matter, you know, what your social standing is. So it's so ridiculous.
Exactly.
You know, oh, he's rich. He didn't have to do that for sex. You're right. He did, but he didn't want the regular sex, obviously. He didn't want sensual sex. He wanted a more predatorial type of situation. And, you know, hey, but we're going to let it play out. I don't really know what the next step they're going to do. I mean, like I said, the guy is, what is he, like 100 now? I don't know how old he is.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you know, let God judge him. Anyway, moving on. So we're talking about the complexities of love and relationships. I have a couple of questions that I'm going to throw at you, and then I want you to. Yes, you know the drill. What was that?
I already know the drill. I know what time it is. I already know.
You know, I love to just throw stuff at you. I mean, everybody at one point or time in their life have been confounded by the idea or what exactly love is and why relationships can oftentimes be so difficult to make work. And why is it just so hard? And, you know, do half of the people that say they love someone even know what love is? Have you ever even actually experienced love? So, I want to talk about all of that. But my first question, because this was actually supposed to be something that we were supposed to talk about a while ago on a show, and we ended up not doing the show. But is it possible, do you feel like it's possible for someone to be in love with two people at the same time? And I want the listeners' feedback as well. I know we have some shy people, so if you want to inbox me some feedback or if you want to jump on our forum page, get on the link for tonight's show and leave your comments and questions, and then I will read them on air. But, yes, Mr. Hill, is it possible? I mean, is it really, really possible? We're not talking about the personal affection that you have for, you know, that a person has for their parents. We're talking about that deeper intimate love, you know, that sexual love, that, you know, that partnership love.
Right.
Yeah, is it possible?
Okay. I'm going to say it is possible because anything that is not based on some type of absolute mathematic scientific measure does have the chance to be possible. Is it probable? I don't believe it's that probable. I don't believe it's normal for people to be in love with two people at the same time because, and I can only go based off of my experience. And the thing is, let me preface this by saying, we can't put love into a box. So anybody who's going to disagree and say, oh, no, you know, that's giving people an excuse to do whatever. No, no, no. You can't take love and put it into a box based off of your personal experience. But you can still speak on your personal experience and how that makes you believe or makes you feel how you feel about it. I know how much energy goes into it. And so for me to imagine being in love with two women at the same time, what else would I have room for in life? Like, that's a lot of energy, and that's a lot of work that you naturally put in. I mean, it's natural, but you can become overwhelmed. So I think it's possible, but I don't really think it's that natural, and I think it will be extremely difficult to manage those expectations and deal with those feelings. And when we talk about physicality, like, my goodness, how are you going to be in love with two women and physically satisfy two women? I don't care what you dudes say, but if we're talking about two grown women who are healthy sexually and you're a grown man, I don't care how healthy sexually you are, bruh, you can't, you're not going to just, that's a lot of humping. That's all I'm saying. So
better get your Pilates in and do a lot of stretching.
No, right. That blood flow, flexibility, everything better be going. You ain't got no time for sleep, bro. So I do think it's possible because I don't believe in putting love into a box. I can't take something that's illogical because it's emotional, and emotional isn't necessarily described as logical. I can't take something that's illogical and try to break it down into logic and say, well, it's not possible based on X, Y, and Z. I think it's possible. I just think it would be extremely difficult and taxing. It might take years off your life, for all I'm willing to assume about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, so tell me if this makes sense. I think that, you know, because sometimes, I mean, many people can relate to this, being in a relationship with someone that you fell in love with, and then as time progressed or as certain painful events have, you know, unraveled in that relationship, you know, the emotional distance, you know, is there, but there's still a love that you can have for a person, but yet not be in love. I think being in love with someone takes you from one point into the next of wanting to be with that person, wanting to build a life with that person, you know, wanting to, you know, seeing that person as your partner versus you can love someone and you know, realize that you can't build with them or not even have the desire to build with them anymore.
Right.
Because for me, from, you know, the few men that I've been in love with my entire life, I still love all of them. It's not like a big shoebox of, you know, people, but I actually still, you know, I still sincerely and genuinely love each of them. I'm just not in love with them. I would not want to build a future or build, you know, an emotional or intimate partnership with them. And I think,
right.
I think sometimes people, when they don't realize that or they don't differentiate between those two, that's where a lot of the confusion and the hurt comes from, because you're trying to force actions from someone who's no longer in love with you, or you're trying to force yourself to do actions of someone that is in love when you're really not. And accepting that, you know, I think is not easy for people, because we want to think that, oh, you know, it has to be like in love, and, you know, sometimes you're just not in love anymore. But
right.
I don't know, you know, so I don't believe. I also don't believe, you know, that you can be in love with two people at the same time. But then I know that I have a good friend who's going to be like, that's true and true, you know, because people in different lifestyles who have multiple partners and so forth, and they feel like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that polyamorous. Now, when we get into that, I mean, think about this, though. People that live the polyamorous lifestyle, what percent of society are they in? I'm going to assume that they're in, like, this small 0.5 percentile that's so extremely rare to where it's not even considered. So those are outliers. That's where the impossibility becomes more of an improbability than anything else. So that's why I kind of don't want to say impossible. But for me, it's not possible for me to be in love with two women. There's no way.
Yeah, it's very rare. And for debate purposes, you know, when you're dealing with facts, I don't typically want to lean towards the you know, I like to stick with the majority.
What is
likely to happen versus, you know, because if we get into, okay, this is, everything is probable, you take a bunch of crazy people, just, you know, I mean, so before the basis of kind of keeping focused, you know, I would say let's deal with what is more so of, which makes, you know, takes me into my next point. is monogamy even normal? Is it abnormal to expect, you know, someone, especially in this day and age, to stick with the same person? You know, is monogamy an old, outdated belief system? Is that ideology now past? Are we coming into a new era where it's, you know, kind of going back into the 70s where it's free love and just go with what you feel?
I think what's happening here, I think we are kind of getting to a point where I think we're getting to a point where people are more explorative, and they're starting to rationalize the behavior. Whereas in the 70s, they didn't even try to rationalize it. They just said, hey, it's free love. This is what the world needs. You know, we're coming on the heels of the 60s and the 50s and war and all this, you know, negativity with Vietnam. So all we wanted was love and something positive. And that came in the form of sex with multiple partners and people trying to do all this extra stuff. When we really boil down to it, monogamy, while you might have a desire, because monogamy and monotony seem, they sound alike, first of all. So monogamy and monotony seem to kind of come hand in hand. And I think sometimes when people think about monogamy, they think about the fact that, oh, one person for the rest of my life, golly, that's going to be boring, because they're comparing it to their explorative single lives. But in monogamy, you have to know how to make it fun for you and this person that you plan on spending the rest of your life with. Temptation typically comes from a lack thereof within your relationship. Now, if everything is what this person thinks that they desire in one other partner, and they still find a desire to have someone else, then perhaps monogamy is a struggle for that individual. But I'm not going to say that because monogamy might be a struggle for somebody or might feel unnatural for somebody, that is not something to aspire for, because for some, there's strength and there's power in avoiding the temptations to be with somebody else because it is love that you have for somebody else, especially when everything is okay. When everything is okay, what's the point? Like, why would we? You know, and I know right now in society and everything is so sexualized. Me and somebody were talking about commercials. Every commercial you come across has some sort of sexual innuendo in it. So we're in a sexually charged environment, and we see sex at every corner. We see it in every movie, every commercial, and we want to be involved in it. So I would hope that it will come into monogamous form. But it seems that nowadays everybody wants a little bit of extra something on the outside with another participant. Not everybody, but a lot of bodies, I would say that. Not everybody.
I personally I believe in monogamy, and I believe that it's beautiful, and it is natural, and it's wonderful, and it's amazing. And I don't think any person actually, when they get to that place where they're on their deathbed, looks back and, you know, they've had, like, hundreds of lovers and different people that they've, you know, got involved with. I don't really think that they're going to, you know, smile and say, yeah, I did it. I think at the end of the day, we just make the mistake of trying to have what is natural and what is beautiful with the wrong people. And that's why, you know, people go from this one to that one to that one. You're trying to force a fit that's, you know, not a natural fit. You know, that's typically what happens. It just falls apart. But if we, you know, focus more on trying to, you know, discover the person that we're actually good for and that is good for us, I think we would, you know. Of course, that's never going to happen because we're people and we have to make mistakes. But in Miguel Marie's fantasy world. we all get it. We all get it without having to hit our head up against the same brick wall. But I mean, you know, we're hard headed. We're human. We fall. We fail. But I personally, I think, you know, I think I'm just a romantic. I think the idea of finding the person who will grow with you and challenge you and, you know, fight life with you and understand you and seek to understand you and vice versa, and it's mutually reciprocated, I think that is so much more appealing than, you know, running around laying down with the next thing that excites you, you know, visually.
Right.
And, you know, and
you make a very, very valid point. We should all aspire for that one individual. I think, like I said, like you're saying, we jump ship really quickly. Like, I think the society that we're in now is one where everything is instant gratification. And so with instant gratification, we sit back and we're always in a mood to just instantly feel what we want that's valid. So a lot of times when we run into the hard times with somebody else, we want that instant validation that everything is going to work, which puts us into a situation where we start to root against monogamy, and then we go for this thing where it's more polygamous or polyamorous, where we need multiple partners because we feel like we have multiple fixes. We feel like we have people that we need for, I need her for this, then her for this, then her for this, as opposed to one person who can fulfill all those, because it's so convenient and easy to find someone to fill the other desires or the other needs that you think you have, and instead of just waiting on that one and building with that one, it's so easy to jump from person to person or deal with multiple people at a time. And it's kind of lazy, but then again, society is more geared toward that instant gratification as opposed to fighting it out and waiting it out with that one particular person. So it's kind of just, it might be a sign of the times. Maybe monogamy is kind of becoming more of an option as opposed to the standard.
It's not really a sign of the times. Everything has happened before. I mean, marrying multiple people, we've been there and done that. So nothing is new under the sun, but we definitely to be going full circle back into a lifestyle of debauchery and just, you know, craziness. But when you were talking, you know, I also think that, you know, it's just when you get to a place in your life, a place of, you know, when you mature and when you get tired of the games and you get tired of, you know, all of, you know, just running after a flesh type of, you know, fulfillment, and you want something deeper, you have to make sure, you know, that you connect with people that are also in that same, you know, mindset. You know, sometimes, right. You know, what you have one person who's ready and they're attracted to another person that isn't ready, and instead of recognizing that, hey, this person isn't ready for what you want and walking away, you know, we tend to try and stay and force that person to change. Like, you know, you're going to give me, you know, women are good for that. You know, we, you know, thinking that they can change a man's mind, and, you know, if I'm sweet enough or if I, you know, give it to you good enough, you're going to want to be, you're going to want to be in a relationship with just me. And it doesn't work. It's, you know, vaginas are attached to all women. So it's not really, you can't get commitment through your vagina. It really has to be a soul connection and a mutual, you know, desire for that.
I definitely agree.
You agree that vaginas are attached to all women, or?
No, but you, well, wait, hey, I agree with that, obviously. I do agree that you can't, no woman should be using that as a conduit to a fulfilling relationship. You know, that's part of the entire package, but that is not the thing that's going to substantiate an actual relationship and real love. And it dang sure ain't gonna, it's obviously not substantiating monogamy. It obviously isn't. I think the key to monogamy is when you find somebody and you guys have that bond, that soul connection and everything else, and you continue to strengthen it over the years and over time. and not letting it fall to the wayside when you guys slightly grow apart or when you have differences and everything else. To strengthen that, you just gotta continue to work at it. It's not done when you say your vows or when you decide to commit to a person. It's not done. You're still working at it until you and this person go into the grave. It's a constant work and desire that you want it to work, and this is something that you're proud to have.
Right. And if that's not what you want, and you don't want to
be honest about it, please.
Yeah, be honest. Don't get somebody else, entangled in your craziness. Like, just always say what it is that you want up front and get a clear indication of what the other person wants. That's what I think. Like, what do you want? Huh? You just want to have sex? Is that what you want? just be honest. It might sting a little bit if he's like, yeah, can we do that?
but you know what? Maybe the person will say, you know what? And you're so right, because honestly, if a person can just keep it sort of like you like to say, like the way you say it, 100. If people
don't
keep it, want keep
that.
It,
you're cloudy.
You see, but if people just keep it 100 from day one.
Just so the listeners know, you underhandedly clown me because that I don't say keeping it 100 or 100, whatever, but I don't say it right. So that was
it's not 100.
What is it, 100?
Oh, no, you don't say the one. You know you don't say the one. It's keeping it 100. You don't say keeping
it
100.
Keep it.
No. Get over. Just stop. Just stop.
Keeping it 100. What?
No.
What is the?
It's 100. It's with HUNNID. 100.
Keeping it 100. Okay.
Never mind. But when
sounded like a.
Listen, in this day and age where people are going to keep it real, I think it behooves people to be straight up from day one. Women, don't lie to men and say, oh, I'm into this open lifestyle and I'm cool with anything, no pressure, blah, blah, blah. When you know deep down you want a fulfilling monogamous relationship, a fulfilling relationship that leads to possible marriage, kids, a white picket fence with the dog in the house, where you got this dude who seems ideal, except guess what he wants? He wants to have a threesome every other month, and he wants to go to swingers parties, and he still wants to live the lifestyle of a bachelor with a woman that he can call on a regular basis. You can't decide to try to mold somebody when they're being honest with you. You can't decide to change your own values and your own ideals to fit somebody who you think might change to yours. So somebody's going to get their feelings hurt in that situation. The woman that's after the guy who obviously does not have anything monogamous going on, or the guy who's after the woman who obviously is looking for something monogamous. People have to be straight up about their intentions from day one. That way you don't have these problems. So if I say, hey, girl, nah, I ain't with this monogamous lifestyle. I can be with you, babe, but you need to bring me another woman at least once a month. And then if you decide to go in that lifestyle with that dude, then
oh no!
Oh yeah, what you talking about? I mean that's lovely, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying for me, I'm just saying in general. But in the same thing, a guy can't want this one woman so bad that he's gonna fake it. He knows good and well he's not trying to be monogamous, but he's gonna put on the front and play the game behind her back. No, it's just be honest, straight up about what your intentions and desires are. We'll all be better for it.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen. But it's unfortunate that. Because it just doesn't. It's easy to say, but for some reason, when you get into the situation, and then, when people's emotions are, involved, the heart wants what the heart wants, but that brings me to my next question. How do you know when it's love? Because my experience in talking to people is, love is a very, very strong emotion, and love can feel very similar to what we think love is, you know, just that desire to be around the person. You want to touch them. You want to, you know, you want to talk to them all the time. You want to see them. You get those butterflies, all of those things. And, you know, but love, you know, it's that, and then it's just a lot more. It's that selflessness and that, you know, that devotion.
Yeah.
And so how, you know, I'm kind of giving part of the answer, but how do you know, how do you differentiate between lust and love?
For me personally, is when I have gotten to the point where I am willing to place her needs, wants, and desires above mine, even though they're not in sync, that's where I know love starts to take place. Because I'm totally selfless in that moment.
Right.
And that's rare, because I'm a selfish human being. And listen, my brother, he comments on the post and he listens to the show. He can tell you I can be a very, very selfish person. So for me, when I get to that point where I start to sacrifice what I want and desire.
You said he is selfish.
Right, I am. I'm telling you, that's one thing I can be. That can be attached to me. So I know for me, when I have that love and desire for you, I start to put you before me. That's when it's there for me. That's when I'm at that point. It could be something very minor, but for me to put somebody before me, that's what it is. And it's beyond the butterfly feelings and the lust and everything else and enjoying the person's company. When it starts to transcend that, when I care more about this person's happiness and well-being and everything else above my own, you know, that's when love is there. You know, that's when it's prevalent. And I can't personally mistake that for anything else.
I agree. I think that's a good indicator that, you know, that in, you know, and some people still be confused about love, but love is long lasting, it's long suffering. It's, you know, you look at what the Bible says about it and you know, kind of reflect on what you're actually feeling compared to what love actually is. I think that's a good thing to do when you're having that time of introspection. Like, do I really love this person? Like, you know, do I? how hurt would I be if they fell off of a cliff? Would it be like for an hour? Would I try to get to the funeral? Like, you know, what am I actually feeling for this person? And, you know, if you're jumping around from person to person, you're not, you don't love.
Right.
Okay, so here's another one. Because we're talking about the complexities of love and relationships. Why is communication between men and women so difficult?
Wow. because women are naturally communicators and men, we struggle to communicate. I don't care what dudes say. All these dudes are sitting there going to say, oh, I'm a great communicator. We become great communicators. We work at communication. But I'll give you an example that I heard, and I got to give credit to the person who made the example. It's actually a radio host that I kind of indifferent about sometimes, but he made a really good example. It's Colin Cowherd. He said, when women have issues, they communicate in an extensive way, networks. For example, he used breast cancer awareness and all the other issues that women might have with health. And he talked about how women, they'll build these networks and they'll have commercials, infomercials, and they'll create drives and marches and networks. Whereas men, we can have all the same problems and we know the problems, but we don't communicate them. So I don't sit down with my brother, my best friend, and my siblings and my peers and discuss the issues that I'm having emotionally or physically or anything else. Women, however, discuss that stuff with their girlfriends and their moms and their sisters and their friends and their peers. So women are groomed to just be more in tune with communication, whereas men, we just kind of sit back and we don't communicate. And it boils all the way down to desire. Men will spend, because I'm guaranteeing you one thing, women are not spending the hundreds of dollars or millions of dollars, you know, a year or billions of dollars, if it's just that much, on the sex, on the hot sex lines or the sex call lines or whatever. Men are doing that. But why are those men not communicating those desires to the woman that they're living with at that time? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of married men and a lot of men in relationships that are calling the 1-900 numbers. And all you got to do is go to your woman and say, hey, baby, I like to be beat with a whip and peed on and shot. You know, tell your woman that. You know what I'm saying? But because we're so bad at communication, we don't bring that. And the same thing when things are bothering us, when we're not feeling great about life and situations. Well, we'll go talk to a woman that's going to make us feel better, but we don't want to go talk to the woman at home because we're not great communicators in a lot of cases. So I just think that's what it is in relationship with men.
Someone inboxed me. She said because men don't know how to listen. Okay. That could be true for some men, but you said, so these men will go and communicate these desires or talk about their problems to other women, but not the women that they're with. So that denotes that the ability to communicate is there. There's a breakdown within the relationship, that's the part that I want to address. Why is it so hard, or what happens in the structure of the relationship that causes men to not see the women that they're with as a confidant or someone that they can express those hidden desires? Something happens, I personally believe that a lot of times men will shut down in relationships when they've been nagged or when they've been made to feel guilty about certain things that they feel have been made to, I've seen a lot of women who just will go into a man, no matter who's around. it's really, really sad. And so it's like I can understand why they would not want to discuss certain things with that woman. If a woman is being critical or, not understanding and not loving to that man, I could see that being a reason. And, on the flip side, women shut down, emotionally, which, then means they're not going to be communicating with you. When they feel hurt or when they feel isolated or when they feel unfulfilled in some area. But, why is it so hard to reveal that?
You made a valid point. One is, like you just said, when men, first of all, for a man to complain, remember, men are taught to be tough. We're taught not to cry. We're taught to have this, manly persona and be tough, and we don't bitch. We don't complain. That's what you don't do that. So when a man does get to the point where he decides to finally vent and complain and say, I'm having a problem or I don't feel right about this, if it's met by his woman with any sort of animus or disdain or treating him as if he's weak, it will cause the man to shut down. No question about it. But let me flip it around. If a woman has a man that's always running around complaining and crying, I can understand how women kind of, view that as, okay, you cry too much, you complain too much. So there's a bit of both sides of it. But you're right. When men show up, it's how it's received by the woman that can turn it around and make it to where this man never communicates again or he finally shuts down. And it's also when things are thrown into a man's face. The thing is that has to be realized about men, we don't do well with you bringing up our weak moments later. We do not do well with the low blows that women throw low blows. Men do too, but women, when men and women get into these debates, these arguments, these moments, women reach for the thing that they know is going to hurt you most, the weakest moment, and they throw it in your face. When a woman does that to a man, it is I will tell you, I don't know if you come back from that. I don't know what it is. Let's just say the man just so happened to when you guys were dating and in your early 20s and you guys went out, and some man, I don't know, punched him out in the club in front of you, right? And so let's say 5 years pass, and a man getting punched out in front of his woman, he's going to feel a certain kind of way. But let's just say it happened. So let's just say in a heat of an argument one day, a woman says, you ain't that much of a man. You got punched out by I'll go get such and such who punched you out in front of me. If a woman does that to a man, he is forever, you just emasculated him. Once you emasculate this man, once his manhood is no longer valid to him in your eyes, he's going to seek validation elsewhere, and communication is totally out of the window at that point. So that's one of the real big deal breakers. You got the male ego is a very, it's the most fragile thing in the history of things that are fragile, the male ego, no question about it.
I was going to say it really is, and men, you know, typically don't like to admit to that, but you got your egos are so fragile, and you're so tender and soft in that spot, and, you know, if a woman comes and does anything that you even, you know, through as trying to hurt you, you guys hold on to that, like, you know, for dear life. There's this belief that, oh, women, you know, hold on to things. But I think men hold on to grudges a lot more than women. I think you hurt a man's ego, and you basically should just move out, because, like, the relationship is pretty much over, because he's going to disconnect emotionally from you, and you're going to be wondering, like, what's wrong, and he's still growing over, you know, something you said last year. So.
Right.
But Charles Hill said, and, you know, it's because, I guess, because men don't want to, they don't want to hurt you. And, you know, I agree, but I don't know, you know, do women really want to hear their man's raw thoughts and what he, you know, they say that they do, but she said, we want to know what they're going through and what they're dealing with, but a lot of men don't know how to let us in.
Right.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know what? Now, you did say something. Somebody did say that men don't know how to listen. And let me be honest. We don't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because men listen one way. We listen to the important shit. But the important stuff is the actual stuff that makes a difference. For example, when a woman is talking, it's a lot, to make a long story short, and she wants to give the details. For example, a man comes and says, "Woman, oh yeah, my brother's, you know, he finally had a baby. I mean, the baby was born." What does the woman ask? How much did the baby weigh? What time was the baby born? What was the baby this amount of ounces in? And they're asking all these questions. That's not important to men. Men come and say, "Hey, the baby was born. It was healthy," and boom, that's it. The meat and potatoes, that's how we communicate. When women come along and they want to communicate all the intricate details that have nothing to do with the meat and potatoes, that gets missed, because after a minute, they start going to sleep. So women, if you're communicating, give us the absolute meat and potatoes first. Give us the absolute, "Hey, babe, I was on my – babe, you won't believe what happened. I was on my way from work today. And while I was on my way from work, I got to the stoplight and I saw a homeless person. And then I saw a homeless person, so I pulled off." And at that point, we lost. And at the end of the conversation, you're trying to tell us you ran into somebody or ran into a light pole. Bitch, why did you say that first? Say you ran into the light pole first. Don't come talking about everything else in between. I'm sorry.
Goodness, did you just call your
That's in our mind, while y'all are going through all the details, we're wondering, why didn't you tell us you got fired? You're talking about a conversation you had with your boss and how this woman at work then pissed you off. When the end of the conversation is you to tell me that you don't have a job, so I need to go ahead and put in a request for overtime. Give me the details, damn it. Y'all be trying to hear it all. I mean, don't get the details. Give me the meat and potatoes. Give me what's important. Keep all that other stuff. We don't need it.
We're trying to build it up the way
we want. No, we don't want a build up. This isn't sex. We don't want a build up. We don't want the foreplay. We want the end result in the conversation. Give us the nut. Stop with everything else. We don't need it.
Did you say give us the nut?
Put it like this. Treat conversations like the orgasm for a man. Men, we
Go ahead.
Women, treat the conversation like sex for your man, kinda. Not for you, but for your man. The orgasm. Just give us the orgasm. All the other stuff in between, it don't matter. Which it matters. I'm not saying I'm kinda gonna put myself into a bad light here, but I'm just saying that's how communication works for men. The important the one thing that matters, the reason that you opened your mouth, that's what we want. Everything else in between, spare us. There's a football game coming on in 20 minutes, babe. We ain't trying to hear all that. Ah.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. Women, you know, we can't, we can't try to make our men into our girlfriends, you know. They're
right.
That stuff. But, it's also, it's that give and take. It can't just be, hey, this is how men are and accept it. It has to be, that compromise that's going on between, both people. So if if you know that women are a bit more vocally expressive and, in their communication, and they want to, give you more information, sometimes, man up and listen to your woman. Don't always feel like, don't do the caveman thing where my way only my way. You're going to find yourself by yourself doing that. So
I just clap. I just, while she's in the middle of talking, I just clap. I'm like, babe, hey, okay, let's wrap this up. What are you trying to tell me here?
I don't know about you on that. That's so mean. You don't do that. That's not a good thing.
It's wrong. I'm exaggerating, but I'm just saying.
Exaggerating, Mama. I think that's just clapping. All right, babe. Okay.
Wrap it up. Come on, girl.
You've used all your words for today.
I know. I thought. Hey, I'm like, hey, babe. You got 140 characters. This is Twitter. Let's get it out. Come on. Snap. Boom. Right.
Oh my gosh. That's
if women, I'm gonna say this. If women communicated in 140 characters exactly what they had to their man, then it will be all good. The only time y'all can't do that when it comes to sex. Y'all can't shorten up stuff when it comes to sex or breaking a man down sexually. You got to kind of be careful with that. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, get to the point. That's the only time we don't need to be spared is when it comes to sex. But anything else, just get to the point, woman. Damn.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Okay, we have a caller. Angela, let me find your number. I see you. One second. She wants to get in. I think you said something. Hold on. Are you there, beautiful?
Yes, darling.
Hello. Welcome.
I'm good. How are you?
We're good.
I know it couldn't be something I said. Yeah, I just had to chime in on the whole detail thing. Okay, first of all, don't sorry. Sit back, relax, and listen. Okay, Mr. Hill. We all know that women are going to be more detailed than men on any level, regardless of the situation, period. That's what we do. When we travel, we pack a toothbrush, we get the toothpaste, because, the hotel doesn't have those things. We have everything. And then what do the men do? They come to the women for all of that stuff. I got you, babe. Here you go. Bam. Spot. Right on the spot. Everything you need. We ready. Okay? As far as communication goes, the reason why, I can say that sometimes we do kind of go off into, certain things that don't matter when it's casual conversation. But when it's actual meaningful conversation and something that is, we're trying to get across to you, the details are to provide you perspective. It's to put you in the mindset that I was in when these actions occurred. You know what I'm saying? Say, for instance, I'm trying to tell you that, babe, you're doing some things that, I don't like, and it sounds like you're nagging, right? To a man, it sounds like you're nagging.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the situation is I'm providing you the manual. I'm giving you the instructions on, first I'm telling you what's wrong, and I'm telling you why I don't like it, and what you need to do to fix it, and what's going to happen when you don't, okay?
Uh-oh.
That way,
wait.
When it continues to happen, that way when it continues to happen, we already know, okay, I already told him. He's aware, so he can't say, I don't know, because you were standing in front of me and I said it. So those details that, and then what happens, what we all know it is, what happens is we get to a point where we'll stop talking because right. We already know he ain't trying to hear it. And then, when we're tired of it, we'll just be done. And then all of a sudden they want the details. What? Wait, when? How? How did we get here? What happened? Why would you just leave? Just leave. I've been talking about this for 3-4 years.
Right.
Then they want to talk. Then they want the details.
When a woman, when she stops talking, because even though it may seem as a nuisance when, she's always saying something, but, if you really care about the relationship, a definite end to that is when she stops trying to communicate or express, what's bothering her, express her need for certain things to change. So when a woman stops talking, like she said, you're right, that's it. That's when it's at that point where she's done. So,
at that point, we've said everything that we feel, because we're trying to fix it, we're trying to save it, and we feel like we've said everything that they're, is he not understanding? Like, what is it? Because we're trying to really get through to you. So that's why we say so many words. It's not all about meat and potatoes. If I say, I don't want you out late, so, I don't know what you mean. I'm grown. I'm doing what I want. But if I say, I don't want you out late because what if something happens to you? And then we're stuck here with the kids, with no provider. Now you get it. It takes some of that for you to actually get to understand so you can say, okay, now I see where she's coming from. Now I can actually respect her with. Whatever.
That's true. There is some valid points. Sometimes as men, we do need that absolute, we do need the breakdown from time to time. Not all the time, because some stuff is common sense. But so if I do stop, I would say this. If I give the woman the command cue, like, all right, I got it. That means shut up. I don't need to hear anything further. I see where you're going. But you're right. There are instances where men, like, the familiarity is not there. When we especially we can't identify the error or see it, we do need that walk through the park. We need the long walk through the park when we can't see, like, okay, what's the problem? I don't understand what's going on. At that moment, you're right, that communication is absolutely valuable. And that's where women are better than men. Women are better than men in those moments because a man in that moment, we're not going to give you the walk through the park. We're going to expect that we just said it and you just got it. And that's not always the case. So I think it's a little bit of give and take on both sides. I did kind of doze off right there. My bad. I don't know what you were saying those last two.
Shut up. You better pay attention. I'm giving you the keys.
We know Manuel did not fall asleep. You made a good point at the end of that. Men are more, more direct with their information. And a lot of times they may feel like they're conveying the complete message and the woman is not getting it in its entirety. So, men and women are, the whole point of the relationship is that we balance out each other.
Right.
It's not
supposed
to be, one is not supposed to totally conform to how the other communicates and vice versa. It needs to be, a meeting in the middle. And where she may be, feels like she has to inundate him with information, she can pull back and take from him, that sometimes it's not required that you run a topic into the ground. Maybe saying it one time is enough. And, and he needs to take from her that, women are expressive and do need, to feel like they're being heard. So instead of falling asleep like Manuel just did, you would stay awake and listen and let her know that, you know, what she has to say is actually important to you. So, you know, it is a balance.
That matters especially early on, too, because when you don't really know how that person communicates and if they're listening, if they're really paying attention, then you tend to do a lot more. You know, after a while, you can give them a look and then they get it, you know. But I think that's especially more common early on into a relationship when you get to know somebody.
Thank you. I agree. Manuel, don't you agree? What is he doing? I think he's.
I'm listening to all the details. I'm honing in. I'm listening to all the details. All the little.
All of that is true. All right, so we're almost out of time. But you have one more question. Like, how important is sex in a relationship? If you have a man who is putting more, I don't know what that says. What that says to me.
I would say this. How important a sex relationship is, like, one of the top three important things.
Wait, say that again?
It's one of the top three most important things.
One of the top three. What are the top three then? What are the top three most important things?
Top three most important. Okay, we're gonna say that communication is obviously up there, number one, because that covers so many other dynamics. Communication, chemistry, and sex. Like everything, anything else can be. Sex is its own entity, but all those things can sort of kind of piggyback off of each other. But there's nothing in which we can't do. Because if you try to say, oh, finances. Well, finances should damn sure fall under communication. You know, sex also can somehow fall under the communication and chemistry. Communication always, because some of those things piggyback off each other. But when you have great communication, great chemistry, and great sex, like, hey, what else are you talking about? Physical attraction, we don't even need to discuss because that should be handled day one. So communication and sex and chemistry.
Right. And she doesn't want her name on here. But I think she's saying, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think that this is what she's saying, is that if the man is putting too much pressure on about getting, I don't know what this, I'm sorry, I don't know what your question is or what you're trying to ask, but if you're in a relationship with someone, I'm assuming that you guys are intimate, and like you said, communication is you know, top priority. Before going into the relationship, you have to know, you know, what that person, you know, what their sex drive is, what they're looking for. So
right. It
kind of, you know, that all kind of falls in. So you shouldn't just kind of be in a situation, you know, be blindsided by a situation rather. So if you have a guy that's
communication.
Right. So, you know, if he's like one of those guys that wants it, you know, all the time, you probably want to find that out before you get into a committed relationship with them.
Now I got a question for you. Are you one of those ladies? Are you one of those women who wants it all the time?
Wait, am I one of those ladies that what?
Are you one of those women who wants it all the time?
What the hell?
Like how often do you have to have it? I just put you on the hot seat. My turn. How often does Miguel Marie have to get it in?
But I control the buttons, though, so it's not really, okay, that, I don't even, I,
she kind of shy, y'all, she's shy.
What's the question again? What's the question?
How often do you have to have it? How often does Miguel Marie have to have it?
I wouldn't have to have it? I mean,
How often do you got to get that work? Put it on out there for the people. The guys want to know.
The guys, none of your business.
What? You see how she answered? Boy. Wait till my turn.
No. I'm going to be fair because I do get you, but you kind of threw me with the question. I'm trying to figure out how does that tie into anything, but
no, nothing. It ties into nothing. I just put it out there.
It really doesn't. But no, I like it. So often.
What's often? Is it daily? Is it 3 times a week? Weekly? Monthly? Like what is that? What's often?
You know, daily.
Damn.
You know, you have.
Brother can't get no sleep around you, can he?
No, of course. But why would he want to sleep around me?
Oh!
Good comeback.
Why would he want to sleep when this is right over here next to him? My bad. Okay, I'm gonna get up off of you.
But why? But I'm saying why? Why would he? And if that was the case, then, you know, that's fine. You know, you're in a relationship. You have to, you know, it's give and take. You know, sometimes
right.
You may want it, you know, when you don't, when I don't.
And like you said, give and take. Either he's going to give it or you're going to take it, right? Give and take. So either way, you're getting what you want.
I never have to take it.
But have you ever taken it? That don't mean you have to, but have you ever just taken it?
No, I'm not really the, no. No. Do you like it being taken?
I've had it taken from me before. I've been victimized. I've been a victim before. I prefer to be a taker, but, yeah, I've been handled a time or two. Yeah.
You sound so sad when you say that.
Yeah, because when you're a man and you get taken, like, sometimes you're sitting there like, wow, what just happened? Like, we were just watching TV, and she just had her way, and I didn't understand what was happening before it happened, and then it happened, and, you know, it just is what it is. It's a beautiful thing. It's always a beautiful thing.
Charles said all men like an occasional, I guess, so all men like to be taken occasionally.
Right.
See, my definition of taking would be just, you know, to kind of be, like, the initiator. Is that what you're saying? But, like, you know, like, yeah, you know, let's do this. What are you saying? I'm corny, but are you saying just like literally like just throw push you on the bed and just like yeah?
I mean like, you know, oh babe, you know I'm tired. It's a long work day, and you're like, I don't care about your long work day, dude. You got work to put in. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta proceed to just do your thing. Like that's kind of taking it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but so
you, like at that moment.
Wait, but so do you agree with Charles that all men like to be taken occasionally?
Every now and then, yes, absolutely, because a man likes to
I have to stop you because I want the answer real quick. So, what is your definition of being taken? I need to understand when men say that. What are you actually saying? Like, give me the step by step really quick. Are you saying
she initiates. And she's more aggressive in her pursuit than she normally would be.
That's it.
Because it's like, okay, a man might be like, oh, babe, I'm a little tired. You know, let daddy go just sit down and just take his shoes off. And y'all like, mm-mm, I ain't got time for that, boy. Come in. You know, when we feel like y'all want it as bad as we want it, and then you're actually showing that physically I'm not taking later for an answer, that like kind of like, oh, damn, you know, it's kind of real around here. So, of course, men like that level of pursuit because 98% of the time, we're the ones on that level of pursuit. And then the few times that women do show up like that, it's a turn on. It's like it's turning the tables, and we're fired up off of that. So, yeah, that works. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I've done that before. I definitely will let you know that I want it just as much.
And I'm taking it, so you can sit back, boy.
Yeah, but I would prefer to be the one taken.
When's the last time you were taken? When's the last time you got took, Miguel Marie? Tell us about the last time you got took, girl.
Friday.
What was Friday?
It doesn't matter what
it
was. That was the day.
Friday was.
I remember.
You just got took.
I did, and I. That's great. We just went I don't know.
We did. Well, one of the writers mentioned something about the sexual activities in their relationship. You know, when a man puts focus, so that kind of just sparked those questions. I decided to bombard you with there. You know.
No, it's good, but you know, and that's another thing that you have to know in a relationship. You know, are you a submissive? Are you a dom? And I am definitely a submissive. And so that's basically what, you know, gets me, you know, gets me going is being dominated.
Y'all dudes gonna be taking notes. Don't show up asking Miss Miguel.
Take notes because
don't show up asking Miguel. You just show up in there like, Dave, look, this is what it is.
Yeah, don't ask me questions. If you ask me, can I? And you know, that's not gonna get me there. But if you come in and you know that it's your property and that I'm yours and you just
property.
Take what you want and take it as long as you want. Any way that you want.
Any way,
as long as you want. That's right. That's what happens when you're my man. You take ownership. It's yours.
Ooh, just write your name on that, bro. Man, I thought they abolished slavery, girl. Shit.
We need to get off of the air.
My brother Charles said, treat her like a house slave. That is so terrible. We're supposed to be in an advanced society now. We're no longer there. He's talking about slavery. That's just so terrible.
I agree. I completely agree. That's what I'm talking about right there, what he said. That's the mentality. That you have to like jump into that when it's that time. It's just like, I'm not, you know, I want you to take me like you don't like me.
Yeah. You see what Jessica, she said, it's better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. We got some, I don't know what with this Jessica and Charles combination of the thread. We need to get them off of there. They just the worst right there.
I see. But no, I agree with him. But, you know, but that's, you know, like I said, if that woman is, you know, if she's into that, then, you know, give her that. If that's, you know, but you have to find, you know, you both have to come
right,
together. Right. You have to be a match. Because if you're a past, are you like that? Are you one of the, are you a man that takes? Are you aggressive? Are
no.
you like a savage?
No, I'm more of a, I'm very passive. I kind of ask, like, you know, excuse me.
I'm like,
are you busy in about 15 minutes? I'm gonna shower and. So I was just wondering, since I cleaned up and dinner's ready and the kids are asleep, can we possibly? And she's like, I don't know, maybe. And then so that, like, I don't know, maybe makes me feel really good.
Are you going to answer the question before we get off the line?
Okay, damn it. Okay. I am a bit of a taker. I'm a savage. I don't believe in no. Like, I don't believe in no.
That's like a rapist.
I don't want to say listen, I'm sorry people, I don't play about the rape topic, but all I'm saying is what I want is what she wants anyway, so
this,
you know,
is an adult. We actually lost about two callers right now.
Like, but I'm just saying, I whatever I want, I know that's what she wants, so you know I'm giving her what she wants.
Hold on, we've gone over time, and then when I said that, like, I'm looking at the switchboard, like a couple of people. So if someone got offended, I'm sorry. But no, I think that's hot though. But it, you know, you have to have those boundaries. Like, you have to know, do you have a safe, have a safe word, if anything.
Yeah, my safety word is kaleidoscope.
That is too long to be trying. Is that why?
And that's why I make it so long, because she ain't gonna get all that out. She never have time to get kaleida. I'm like, what, girl? Kaleida? She can't get it out. So if she can't get it all out, it means everything's all good.
Does she have to get the whole word out?
Kaleidoscope. Now, if her mouth is covered, then it doesn't matter.
You're like, should I be concerned for you, or are you okay?
if her mouth is full or covered, then she can't get anything out, so I don't have to stop anything.
We had issues. We're so sorry. Ellen Manuel are officially out of their mind in the next couple minutes of this show. You're not taking responsibility for. But wait, you give her a safe word, and then you cover her mouth so she can't say it.
Right. Can't say it. You know, there's no flares. There's no signals.
I mean, they can't blame you, right? Because you're like, I hear you.
I mumbled it. I'm like, I didn't hear that, baby. I'm sorry. Get a flashlight or a whistle or something. Like, I don't know what you're gonna do. Get a bullhorn. I don't know.
Oh my. Ooh, I'm sorry. I just want to apologize. I want to apologize on behalf of my co-host Manuel Hill, as well as the women who have been subjected to what he just described. Is just very unfair.
They've all liked it. They've been appreciative.
When was the last time you dominated a woman?
Oh wow! Like totally. When was the last time I dominated a woman, man?
When was the last woman the word?
Just gave him the absolute business.
You know what the business is? That would be, yeah. See how you trying to act like you need you? I answered the question.
When is the last time I would have? Say, let me look at the calendar. Hold on. I'm looking at the calendar right now. I would say maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe
so
Thursday.
Wait a minute. How is it a maybe? Like what in the world?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Marcus, too. I think Marcus is saying my laugh is hilarious. I'm sorry, you guys. I think people think that I'm like high or something. I'm not. Manuel, you need to stop lying.
I'm putting in that work now.
How do you say maybe Tuesday? what are you talking? Does your penis have a life of its own? Like, does it detach from your body?
You know what? No. It has a mind. It does kind of like. When it happens, it happens. I'm not in very much control.
Oh my god, that's disturbing.
The only thing that stops me is the safety word, kaleidoscope. If she can get it out, if her mouth isn't full or covered.
What was the last thing you just said?
I said the only thing that saves her. I said the only thing that saves her. From that is if her mouth isn't full or covered when she's supposed to play kaleidoscope.
Did you say full or are covered?
Yeah, because her mouth could be full too. Like, how's she gonna get the words out if her mouth is full?
Oh, okay. Marcus said the first word is putting. You guys are so. If you're listening and you have not joined our open forum page, tonight would not be the night to do it. Manuel, this was a funny conversation, but I don't think you answered the question.
I did. I just gave you every day last week.
Every day?
Every day.
You are okay. Well,
Listen, Urban, listen to the audience of Urban Conversation Radio.
I'm trying to be for you is putting in the work every day. So you're an everyday type of man.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm an everyday type of lay. Absolutely.
An everyday type of lay. All right, well, man, I don't have any more questions, and I'm, like, in tears right now. So do you have any closing remarks, Manuel Hill?
No. In all seriousness, like I said, in the spirit of the actual topic, you know, the complexities of love and relationships, I think, you know, it's basic, but it is complex. I mean, you know, it's not as simple as putting love in a box. Whatever works for people, it works for them, but communication, chemistry, and absolutely, I mean, if you're in love or believe you're in love, I mean, if you can do it with more than one person, which I don't find myself capable of that, I mean, go ahead and do it. Just be fulfilled. Be happy. Like, the biggest thing in these love and relationships is to be happy. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're really not happy, I hope you're planning an escape route or at least working towards happiness with your significant other. Like, that's the biggest thing.
And you said you don't feel like you're capable of being with one person?
No, being in love with more than one? No, there's no way.
Oh, being in love with more than one person. Well, I don't know. Well, I think we kind of addressed it. I don't really know. I don't believe that that's possible either.
For me, I don't find it possible.
Yeah. Well, if anybody that was listening, if any of our listeners have any stories where you feel like you've been in love with two people at the same time, we would definitely like to hear from you. You can drop it on our page, and we'll get back with you. You can also always inbox myself or Manuel Hill any questions that you want us to ask on future programs. We appreciate you guys listening in. We will see you, well, you will hear us on next Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for tuning in. This is Miguel Marie, and this is Urban Conversation. I'll talk to you later, Manuel. Thank you.
Bye-bye.